They like happen naturally. Okay, you remember me? That's good. Okay, awesome. Well, we're gonna go ahead and get started here. But my name is Daniel. This is my amazing wife, Corinne.
Woo!
And we are here to talk about hard work. All right. So we want to have a little bit more of a laid back kind of where we're having a good conversation here feel. And so as quickly as we can, I want to run around and I'm going to point and I want you to say your name and something you just don't like doing. Okay?
No pressure.
Real quick, don't overthink it, just something simple. If somebody already said it, you could say it again. You'll probably get some like, or something. But, all right, ready? So, Daniel and I don't like commuting.
Corinne, I hate spiders.
Daryl, I hate confrontations.
Yeah. Anthony, I hate snakes.
Shantasia, waking up early.
Wow. Transportation.
Nick.
Sharice.
Transportation.
Josh, essays. Nice.
Mike, studying boring things.
Studying boring things.
Javier, long hours at work.
Okay.
Matthew, thinking of questions on the spot.
The comments, not questions.
I'm James, writing.
Nice. talking to Mike.
What about Elna, research essays.
Oh, okay, yeah, me too. Okay, nice.
Caleb, essays.
David, wouldn't you really?
Andre, eat napping.
Oh, okay.
Mom, eating.
Yes! Come on.
Being a pro on the street and listen to your trash mixtape.
Comfortable with each other here. I think there were some recurring ones like studying and essays. I think those were like the two biggest ones. But cool. So basically, what we want to do today is we want to do our lesson, and then we want to have some time for some question and answer. So with any of these things that you just talked about or any others, if you have any questions on how you can learn to be harder working in these areas or anything practical like that, remember them, and at the end we can revisit and answer some questions. Does that sound good?
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. We'll answer them to the best of our abilities. We're not experts in this area. We have just learned by a lot of failure. So, the title of our class is Commit to Hard Work. And so, I'll just read the class description briefly. It says, this class is about persisting past laziness, comfort, and our nature to quit, and having the discipline, drive, and devotion to start strong and finish well. God is calling us to commit to hard work. Now, what we want to do in this class is, I think one of the most important things that we can do in any area that we are trying to grow stronger in is look at Jesus' example, right?
All right.
And so I think that needs to be pivotal in our minds, in our study, and whatever we're doing. The first thing we need to be doing is looking at Jesus, how he handled these situations, and trying to imitate that. Most of our questions can be answered by just looking at his life, because he set an unbelievable example on what it looks like to just be a hard worker, plain and simple. And so the three things that we want to talk about, obviously we could come up and we could get really intense in talking about like laziness, don't be lazy, and all that different stuff. I'm more like solution oriented. So instead of talking about the stuff that obviously all of us are probably guilty of, I just want to focus on the three things that we can do better.
Come on.
Okay? And that is discipline, self-control, and intention. Okay, so we're going to talk about those three things: discipline, self-control, and intention. And we're going to add some solutions to some of the different things that we're facing. At the end of each point, we're going to say a few practicals. Hopefully that'll answer some of your questions of maybe how can I get better at this. If we don't, at the end we'll have our Q&A and just have a good discussion. Sound good?
Yeah.
Awesome. So point number one is discipline. All right, so can you turn over to Mark chapter 1?
Come on, go, man.
Mark chapter 1.
Two lessons in one.
Yeah. Don't listen to Paris's lesson. All right, Mark chapter 1, and we are going to start in verse 35. It says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, everyone is looking for you. Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. So, if somebody, who can give me a brief, just one statement, boom, this is what happened in this scripture, a little synopsis of what happened.
He woke up early, did what he had to do in the morning, which was pray to God, and then knew what he had to do, and said it was clear, and he went out and did it.
Boom. Jesus is incredibly just clear and concise, right? But I love this. You know, Jesus is an incredibly busy person, okay? He is definitely more busy than any of us were, are, or probably ever will be. I mean, people were flocking from all over the place trying to find out where he was and trying to get time with him, right? And so Jesus was always just kind of on and thinking about that stuff, and he knows, right? These people are constantly finding him whenever he's going to his solitary places. It's like he can't really take a break. People are always constantly trying to find him. And so I think Jesus here is knowing that he has an entire day, right? When that sun goes up, he's going out there. He's going to be healing. He's going to be teaching. He's going to be preaching. He's going to be doing all of these different things. And so what does he choose to do? He chooses to get up before the sun is up and make sure he does what's most important to him, and that's getting that time with God. That's incredibly disciplined. Okay, when you think about how tired he must be at the end of a day, you think about all the different stuff that he's trying to do that day, and he still decides to get up even earlier and do what must be done, what really is most important. Jesus is an incredibly disciplined person. And you look all over the New Testament and you get to see these different aspects of his discipline, but I just like looking at this for 1 second, because when you really think about it, I mean, getting up early was said like 4 or 5 times just within this group, right? And so, I mean, nobody really likes getting up before the sun's up. I mean, maybe you do. Some people don't like eating, and so I'm sure there's exceptions to this rule. But Jesus had a very clear perspective on what was most important to him, and he wasn't going to let anything else squeeze that out. Does that make sense? And that takes an incredibly disciplined person. How many of us think when you have your early class, right, and then you have your commute to get to that early class, and you're getting up really early just so you can get up with enough time to throw on your clothes, get in the car or on the train, and get to your class on time. And then one of the last things often we want to think about is getting up even earlier to have a quiet time before all of that. You know what I mean? Or sometimes we plan for it. Yeah, you know, I have to get up at 6 o'clock so I can have an hour quiet time, throw on my clothes at 7, be out of the house. Next thing you know, 6 o'clock hits, snooze. Okay, 6:15, snooze. 6:30, snooze. 6:45, snooze. 6:55, snooze. Oh, 7 o'clock. Oh, man. But my great intentions, I was supposed to have my quiet time. You know, well, hey, God knows my heart, right? Like, I tried to have my quiet time. I really tried. You know, and then boom, we go about our merry way, and then rinse and repeat. Tomorrow comes, and the next day comes. And then you're, oh man, 3 days since a quiet time? Whoops. Well, I tried, right? And you think about this, I mean, you have to look at Jesus' perspective on this issue, right? His thing was, I'm going to get up earlier. He did it without an alarm clock. He still got up earlier. I don't know how he did that. I always wonder that. I heard that like the Native Americans would drink a ton of water before a battle so that their body would naturally wake them up because they'd have to, you know, go pee and they'd be up before the sun. And so I don't know what Jesus' method of waking up was. But the bottom line is, he woke up before the sun was up and he got things done. That takes discipline. And that's something that we can all learn from as a situation that we go through all the time in our lives of having to get up early just to do what's most important to us. Now, I want to read another scripture here that has to do with this, and then my wife's going to share a little bit. But it's in Proverbs 6, 9 through 11. You could just write it down, but I'm going to read it out loud here. It's Proverbs 6, 9 through 11. Now, Jesus, he could have slept late, right? He could have slept late because he is God in the flesh. He probably has a better relationship with God than, like, we could have 10 million quiet times in a day through. That's him. But he still knows, I need to get up early to make this happen. And I need to actually get up early to make this happen instead of just planning for it. And this scripture really ties in there. It says in verse 9, how long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. You gotta love the Proverbs. It's just like, it just hurts. You almost don't want to read them because you know it's just gonna hit you, you know. But my thing here is, right, Jesus, was he the kind of, did he work 24/7 around the clock? I mean, he worked very hard, but the reality is he did take times to take a break, to get his mindset, to get his heart set, to get some rest. Now, he was usually interrupted, right? But I mean, hey, he's taken the time to go up on the mountain and be with God. He took the time to get up earlier, right, to have this rest time, connection with God. Sometimes he was just hanging out at parties with, you know, the sinners to try and get to know them. He was, you know, just having dinner with some of his other guys. Jesus was an incredibly hard worker, but that doesn't mean he didn't ever take rest. And I don't want you to come in here and feel like, wow, discipline means I need to, from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., I got to have nonstop different stuff. That's not really what we're talking about here. That's not really being disciplined. That's just kind of having a regimen. Discipline is about what you do, first off. And secondly, it's okay to have rest when you've earned that rest and when you can control yourself in that rest. All right, let me explain that a little bit. So Jesus took breaks, like he's getting up in the early in the morning. He's taking this time to connect with God, to take a little break from everyone else, and that's okay. But he is allowed to take breaks because he earned that time. By when he left the house, He was incredibly disciplined in everything he did. So by the time, if Jesus wanted to take a break at night, that's fine. He earned that, and he can do that without feeling guilty, right? And then the other aspect of it is he controls himself in these times. And so I think a lot of times I translate this into our culture, right? And we think resting is good, and I mean, resting is good, but we go on, hey, it's 9 o'clock, right? I finished most of my homework. I have a little bit more to do, so I'm just going to watch one episode of Parks and Rec on Netflix, right? And that's good, right? Hey, you know what? You worked hard today. You take that break. It's going to be sweet. You're gonna stop it. You're going to jump back on it, on your homework, and you're going to finish it that night. And next thing you know, you're 7, 8, 9 episodes in. It's midnight. And you have to get up for school at 7 in the morning. So you're like, I need to go to bed right now so that I can have my quiet time in the morning. But you watch a couple more episodes. And then you miss your quiet time in the morning because you couldn't wake up. And then you go in and you're scrambling. You see what happens here? Resting is good when you can control it. But if you don't have the discipline to control your rest, you need to be incredibly careful. And you need to be disciplined with how you take breaks as well. I'm talking scheduling it. This is as long as it's going to go. Talking to your roommate or somebody else in the room or, you know, that's there and telling them, hey, this is how long I have. Please help me stick to this and be disciplined in this. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
We're just kind of trying to talk through what it looks like a little bit. But Corinne's going to share some more.
Yeah, well, I just love these scriptures because it shows how Jesus is just so disciplined and self-controlled, and he just does what he has to do, like, no questions asked. He's not like, should I? Or, you know, like, he's like, this is what I do, doing it, and no questions. And when I think of this for my life, I think of how, I don't know, whenever you see somebody who lives a really radical life, like, I don't know, like an Ironman runner or something, you're like, oh my gosh, like, how do you ever even do that? Yeah, stuff like that. It's just so intense. I'm like, whoa. But most times they're like, you just have to start somewhere and it just becomes part of your life. And it's so true. Like, even with our schedules, our routines, stuff like that. Like, this, if you don't wake up at 6 a.m., the thought of waking up at 6 a.m., you're like, whoa, okay. Yeah, it just sounds intense. But if you, you know, start working towards it, then that just becomes who you are.
Yeah.
And that's cool because it doesn't take that long to break a habit and you can always create a new habit. But what's funny is Daniel is like the king of discipline. Like, literally, he is so good at... No, it's true. You, please. Between us, are you kidding me? It's funny because he totally helps me to be more disciplined and, like, intentional. Like, all of the things we're talking about are not my strengths. Like, they're always on my list of things to work in, like, work on, which is funny because I'm like, oh, if it's always on my list, I need to actually work on it or, like, take it to the next level. Otherwise, I'm not working on it, you know? Like, that's ridiculous. If it's just always, oh, discipline, yes, I need to work on that. But that's a good question to ask yourself. Like, is discipline always on my list? Because if it is, then why is it still there? Or, like, what have I done to change or to grow in it? And so I just, yeah, that was a good question for me personally. But I was like, hey, why not? And the other thing to think of is how you're going to fill your time with something. So fill it with something that you need to fill it with. You don't need to fill it with all these, like, unnecessary things. Like, just fill it with things that you have to get done, like homework or, you know. And, of course, take a break if you need it. But when I think of my, like, most disciplined time in life, it was when my whole, like, each section of my life was, like, on point, if that makes sense. Like, I was, like, working out, felt awesome, because my body, I was, like, eating healthily, you know. I got enough sleep, I woke up on time, and then it's crazy, it's like, duh. But when you're living it, then you're, like, actually present at what you need, like, at where you are, instead of, oh, I have to go do this, I forgot this homework that I had to turn in, I have to go talk to that person. You know, like, if you're undisciplined, then it filters into every other section of your life, versus if you're disciplined, you're like, okay, no, this is the time that I have planned. And, like, when you have earned that break, then you can feel awesome, because you're like, I earned this, and, like, you love it. But, yeah, it's just important to actually, like, implement and prioritize it, because it does take work, but...
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think, I mean, first off, it's important for each of us to constantly check in with how we're doing spiritually and
mm-hmm.
the different things that we need to grow in, right? And so for me, I'll sit down and I'll kind of like, after reading and praying, I'll start writing down a list of just the stuff that I feel like I'm not doing so great in. And, you know, it's fun. It's true. The ones that, if you look back and you see are still on that list after 3, 4, 5, 6 months, then you kind of have to start evaluating, am I really working on this? Mm-hmm. Like, am I really trying to work on this? And the hard thing about discipline is, it's like, if you're an undisciplined person, it is so hard to work on discipline because you don't work on things well. And so it's hard to break into that mold. But it's really that this is what it takes. It's you taking the time to reflect. Has this been something that I've been trying to work on for a long time? And if it is, what have I been doing about it? What have I actually concrete, seriously been doing to become a more disciplined person and really spelling that out?
Yeah.
You know, when I was in my first year in college, I'll explain to more of you what my first year of college was like in my next point. But my first year of college, I was incredibly undisciplined. And honestly, I had a hard time sleeping at night because I found out later on that I just wasn't doing enough in the day for my body to be like, you deserve sleep right now. It was just like the weirdest thing. But I moved to San Diego, and in San Diego, they put me to work. I mean, I started leading a Bible talk, all this stuff, really quickly. And for the first time in my life, I started sleeping amazing. And now I sleep amazing. But I was like, what in the world changed? And then I was like, wow, you know what changed? I actually started doing a whole lot of my day. And now I sleep like a baby. But I don't know. That was like one of the biggest indicators in my life of like, wow, I really need to work on my discipline here. And this is something that can get better. But I think for all of us, as we close out this point here, don't be the person that says, I need a break. I'm going to take a little break here. I'm going to take a little rest here. When truthfully, your whole past month has been a break. Let's be real. I mean, look at how quickly you blew through whatever season on Netflix, and you will have a great indicator of if you deserve a break. I'm serious. Give somebody else the password to your Netflix account just for the sake of accountability and your discipline. You don't actually have to do that. But for real, though, when you think about it, you need to earn your breaks by living an actively disciplined life, and then the break, the rest, it becomes that much sweeter. God loves breaks, right? He rested after he created everything. The Sabbath is created as a day of rest, but the context behind that is after 6 days of hard work, earning that rest. And that takes discipline in our culture because we have everything at our fingertips to get us out of whatever that we're wanting to do. So, discipline, what does this look like practically? We're going to share a couple practicals here, but I think that the biggest thing is adding things to your schedule that are worthwhile, okay? That are really worthwhile. Now, precursor to that, if you aren't scheduling, start scheduling. If you are undisciplined, you need a schedule. Because you need to be able to see on paper or digitally how much time you really are wasting. And once you see that, it helps you connect with the level of what you need to grow in. I remember sitting down with Shane Engel, and he made me write down my list because I was feeling like I don't have enough free time to do these different things. And he sat me down, and we wrote out every single responsibility on paper, half hour by half hour, from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m., and these huge daily white gaps poked up every day. And it was humbling. I was like, wow, I'm not as busy as I think I am. I'm just incredibly undisciplined. And it helped me to get a visual. So if you're not scheduling, start scheduling. And sit down with someone who's good at this and ask them for help in this matter. Another thing with that is the other practical that I would say, and this is what Corinne tied in a little bit, is if you... I mean, really, truthfully, if you aren't disciplined in one thing, it seriously does spill over into everything in your life. And it just comes overflowing. So for me, what I needed to do when I was learning how to be disciplined, I wrote down every area of my life where I wasn't disciplined on paper. And I generalized, right? So instead of just working out, not eating right, all these different things, I just put health and stuff like that. So I bracketed them, all my weakest areas. And then I chose for each area one thing that I can start implementing to become more disciplined. All right? So if you've got health, homework, all these different things on your list, don't try and change them all. Focus on one thing. Okay, What can I do better in health to become more disciplined? I can start working out for a half hour 4 days a week. And then you take that and you put it right into your schedule and make it concrete. Okay? But it takes that level of discipline to become disciplined. Now, the other thing with that is the really cool part about that is it starts to become a part of your character. And you stop having to remind yourself that you have to work out 4 times a week. It just starts to become who you are. And then next, then you can work on the second part that's on that list. You can become more disciplined in that. But it's a really beautiful thing. Do you want to add any practicals?
Yeah. So for me, when I was like earlier in college, and my roommate was a D1 women's basketball player at USD, I was like, whew, all right, sweet. I can learn a lot from you. And so she was a beast at scheduling, beast at everything, really. But she was a beast at scheduling, and I was like, Morgan, teach me your ways. Like, how do I do well in school, do well, you know, all of these different areas. And so I really had to get advice. Like, I had to really go after it, and from people who were strong in it. I couldn't go to another undisciplined person and be like, hey, so what do you do? Because obviously we're in the same boat. And then another thing that really was, you know, the kicker was studying it out in the Bible. Like, the Proverbs, goodness, just like that scripture you read, it's so convicting. There's so many scriptures about discipline, self-control, seriously, everything. Like, I just went through and studied them out and just did deeper studies on those, and that helped me to form a conviction on why I should have such a strong conviction on discipline, because, like, in my nature, that's not my strength at all. And then, of course, the other thing, like Daniel was saying, was have other people in your life that can hold you accountable. It's great if you have roommates, you know, or, like, siblings, friends, discipling partners, anything. Like, just be like, hey, I'm really trying to work on this. Can you just help me in it, you know? And then, yeah, it helps to have that person help.
Awesome. Does that make sense? If you have more questions, we can talk about it more at the end. But we're going to transition to our second point here. So we talked about discipline is what you do. Self-control is what you don't do. All right? So discipline is what you do. Self-control is what you don't do. Corinne's going to share a few scriptures talking about Jesus and his incredible example of self-control.
Yeah, so in Matthew 4, I'm just going to say a few examples, but there's Matthew 4 where he's being tempted in the desert. Obviously, that's a strong time where Jesus denied and had strong self-control. Yep. And then Luke 23:9, he could have defended himself, but he chose to remain silent. And then Matthew 14, just that whole chunk is after John the Baptist was beheaded, Jesus retreats, and when he's retreating, these crowds follow him, and like as he gets to the shore and his boat's parked or whatever, there's people right there, and he doesn't get annoyed or frustrated. He has compassion. One side note, I just think he's so well versed in handling people there, and he's so self-controlled that he handles people according to their need rather than like his temptation of being annoyed or frustrated, like, you people, I just left you and here you are again, you know, like, really, you know. So that's just incredible. But then also Matthew 26:53, and that's where he could have called 12 legions of angels, but he didn't.
And then Matthew, if we're going to be disciples, right, imitators of Jesus, then self-control is that something that we need to learn, and we need to learn how to do it well. Because this was such a strong character trait of Jesus. And in Matthew 27, I'll just read it, in verse 38, when we're looking at Jesus on the cross here, I mean, this is one more example of his discipline, or his self-control, excuse me. It says, two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God. In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God. In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him, also heaped insults on him. Now, this section right here, I mean, obviously it's an incredibly inspiring section as we read it in the Gospels, but this is perhaps one of the greatest acts of self-control in history. Because you look at Jesus and they're telling him, prove it. Prove that you are who you say you are. come down, then we'll believe you. If you come down from the cross, then we will believe who you that you are who you say you are. Could you imagine the amount of self-control that you need to have the ability to just come down from the cross and show them exactly who you are? I mean, much less to even just be like, smite, 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 and just destroy them, right? That would be my reaction, like, just all their heads explode, you know? I mean, that personally, but even just the self-control that it takes for him to be taunted so intensely and for him to not give in when it when he really could have done what they were asking him to do. Self-control is about what you don't do, all right? And Jesus was such an unbelievable an example in that. And if we are going to be disciples, we need to learn how to become good at this as well. Now, in Proverbs 25, 28, I'll just read this. It's a little blurb. It says, like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. My question to all of us is a lack of self-control slowly breaking in and subtly taking over your life in different areas of it? Is a lack of self-control slowly breaking in? You know, without self-control, honestly, we're in danger of letting anything enter our life and potentially destroying it, turning us from a great city of God into just mere ruins. And that's what the scripture is talking about here, how self-control, if we aren't good at self-control, then slowly we'll just let anything, like, sway us whatever which way our emotions are swaying us.
Yeah.
Self-control is an incredibly important thing to learn. Now, this is coming from personally, self-control is hard. I have a big past with a whole lot of junk back there, but when I wasn't a disciple and then studying and just became a disciple, right, I needed something to distract myself as I started studying the Bible, okay, because what I was filling that time with was some very bad things. Now, but you know, like idle hands are the devil's plaything. I was like, I need something to do, and so guess what I did? I picked up a game called World of Warcraft. I was like, I've got all this time. I can't hang out with my friends or else I'm going to go and do something dumb with them, right? And so this was me. I'm gonna dive into World of Warcraft, and this is where I'm going to put my time so that I'm not out doing drugs with all these guys. And that was me being self-controlled, right? Mm-hmm. Now, World of Warcraft, okay, it led me to a hard life to break out of. All right. Now, I had to teach myself self-control, as in the act of shutting the computer and putting it away. But it took me a long time to learn that I was actually just how the depth of how little self-control I had. In 365 days, a year from the start of playing that game, I looked up how many hours I played. After a year, on my 1 year anniversary of World of Warcraft, I logged in. How many hours have I actually put in? I logged in 6 hours a day for 365 days straight. A quarter of that year was in the computer, just in the game. That does include all the research I was doing outside of the game, any other game I might have been playing. Now, factor in 8 hours of sleep. I was only in the real world less than a quarter of that year, probably. Now, maybe that's better than the stuff I was doing, but that is a severe lack of self-control. But do you think when I started, in the first few days, first couple weeks, first couple months, that I would look back on the year and that's where it would all go? No, right? Nobody plans on that. But after a year, I was able to see, wow, I have zero self-control. And I had to delete the game and put it away for a long time because I was like, I need to learn how to have self-control. I have nothing to show for this year. I mean, thank God that I got baptized, but I mean, seriously? 6 hours a day for 365 days? That's like absurd. But for all of us, don't be the disciple that lacks self-control. The one who looks back on their year, their month, their day, and wonders where it went. Wonders, what did I accomplish this month? What did I accomplish this week or this year? And then feeling guilty, ashamed, annoyed at ourselves, all these different things when we go to bed and we know we didn't do the things that we were supposed to do, but we just couldn't stop to the street, like looking at stuff on Netflix or on social media, all these different things. All of these feelings that go with looking back on the decisions that are made without self-control. It is a terrible feeling. You know what I mean? Choose instead of being that person that just, your time just disappears. Choose instead to imitate Jesus, who was completely intentional in his actions, in judging what he was going to allow himself to do and what he was going to not let himself do. And thus, he changed the world. Now, what does this look like practically? Plain and simple, stop doing certain things. It's funny, when they like originally told me to do this class on hard work, I kind of just wanted to walk in with a mic and podium and everything and just say like, one, you need to work harder. Drop the mic and leave. I mean, it's like, it's almost that simple. But I mean, I guess, you know, practicals help us out as well. But the reality is, if we're undisciplined and not self-controlled, we know what it is that we have to start cutting out. But it's a borderline addiction that we just can't. And we need to pick up the trait of self-control and stop doing certain things. What do you need to cut out of your life today? What is sapping your time? What is just you log into something and next thing you know, an hour's gone, 2 hours are gone, and you're like, wow, I need to go back to what are those things? What do you need to cut out or severely limit and get help with? Does that make sense? All right, that's going to be my practical there, and we'll keep moving on. And point number three, last one here. Are you with me?
Yep. Yeah.
I know Paris is loud. I appreciate you guys trying to focus here. But point number three is intention. And plain and simple, do you live your life intentionally? Do you live your life intentionally? Now, in Matthew 14, why don't you go ahead and turn there to Matthew 14.
Amen, bro.
Hey bro, could you tell Paris to be quieter?
Or the mic?
Yeah, turn the mic down.
The mic.
That's what it is. So they gave him a mic because they thought that I was going to be louder. Matthew 14, because I'm usually pretty loud. And he even talked to me, he's like, "Hey bro, don't be loud." I'm like, "Okay, I'll be good." Then they gave him a mic.
He's like,
"Yeah." I was like, "Paris, you are so much louder than me, man. Come on."
Yeah,
what
is
that?
You're laughing.
Laughing?
Preaching too loud. Someone told him to preach louder, and then he stopped.
And he did what?
He did
Lord's
Prayer.
Oh, nice. Okay. Now.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Matthew 14 and verses 13 and 14. Now, my wife referenced this scripture, but in verse 13, let me give a preface here. As Kerwin was talking about, John the Baptist had died. Who, John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin. Okay? Now, you could, when you read the scriptures, it's like, oh, John the Baptist died. And yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, great, he's in heaven and all these things. But you look at Jesus' response, Jesus was hurt. I mean, his cousin was just beheaded. Regardless of whether or not, if he's in heaven, right? I mean, the gruesome thoughts of his cousin's last moments and what he went through being in jail, terrorized, and then having his head chopped off, that's intense.
Sure.
And that's what Jesus is going through right now. He knows he's in heaven, but nobody should have to experience that trauma that John the Baptist did in his last moments, right? So Jesus is hurting here. And in verse 13, it says, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. This scripture humbles me every single time. You think Jesus, this dude's cousin, was just brutally murdered. He goes away to take a break and just try to clear his head. Jesus needs a moment. Like, wow. I mean, you killed him like this? You put his head on a platter and displayed it like a toy? He's got to clear his head from this. And he comes out right out of his break from clearing his head, and I'm sure he's thinking about it, and here are all these people. And they found him, and they're going and stumbling on. And one of Jesus' most crucial moments, here comes all these people. Now, Jesus could have totally been like, hey, I'll be with you guys in like an hour. I need a minute. And he could have every excuse. My cousin was just beheaded. I think people would be like, wow. You know what I mean? But instead of doing that and taking that route, he chose to live his life unbelievably intentionally. And seeing them, he met them with compassion and healing their sick. Rather himself asking for compassion and healing, he gave it. Because this is who he was. He was and is an incredibly intentional person. Even his breaks were intentional. And when his break was over, he went right back to what his focus was. Now, we have talked about three different types of poor work ethic, right? The first one being a lack of discipline. And the second one being a lack of self-control. And this third one is a little bit of an oxymoron. But it's the laziness of being a busybody. Okay? I want you to just think about that for a second. The laziness of being a busybody.
Right, come on.
In 2 Thessalonians 3:11, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it. It says, we hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy. They are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. Are you actually busy, or are you just a busybody? You know, sometimes we fill up our schedules to the brim so that we feel busy. So that we feel at the end of the day, man, I left my house at 8 a.m. and I got back at 10 p.m. What a productive day, right? But we're not actually filling that time with things that we should. And the stuff that we should be getting done, like homework or getting to a meeting of the body on time, or something gets pushed aside, right? Then we look, what? I was out all day, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., right? But then you still didn't get your homework done. You still didn't have this conversation you need to have. Is that actually being self-controlled, disciplined, intentional? That's called being a busybody. And that's what the scripture's talking about. You have too much time on your hands and you're filling it, but that's still in God's eyes being idle and disruptive because you're not filling it with the self-controlled, disciplined, intentional things that you need to be getting done. Yeah. You're not getting those things done. If you see yourself in this, right, another word that we like to call this is procrastination,
yeah.
Right? And it's funny, but that's what being a busybody really is. You know exactly the three things that you need to get done, but for some reason, you even slot out the chunk of time to get them done, but then at the end of the day, you still weren't able to get them done. But you're like, I did this, this, and this, and this, but half that's just hanging out with your friends. You chose to go to Starbucks and sit down, watch a couple things on social media, watch a couple YouTube videos, all these things. And next thing you know, it's piled up. I was out all day. What are you talking about, lazy? You know what I mean? Now, this is such a subtle type of laziness because we kind of delude ourselves into thinking, wow, I'm busy here. But you have to look at the things in your life that need to get done, and are they actually getting done? And that's your tell of whether or not you're being disciplined, self-controlled, and living an intentional life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny because we can be as busy as we want, but it doesn't equate to effectiveness. Like, you can be doing all these things, but it needs to be effective. You know, like, what's the point in doing it if it's not even going to be done well? And what's crazy to think of is, like, this is the least busy that you're going to be in your entire life. Like,
believe
it only gets harder from here. And I remember hearing that in college. I'm like, whatever. Like,
yeah.
Once I'm a single, you know, I'll be living, you know, got a good job, da-da-da, whatever. No. It's like, because you still fill the time. It's like you're still the same person, so you're still going to fill it, you know, with different things. So the habits that you form now will be the ones that you have in the future. So make sure that they're the habits that you want to have, not like when somebody thinks of you, are you the person that comes in their mind when it's like, oh, she's always there on time, he's always there, he's always ready to serve. You know, like what are the things that other people can count on you for, if that makes sense? Like, can they count on you being there late, or can they count on you being there early? Are you dependable, you know? And following through with that, I think that's, you know, building character also. Like, don't say that you'll be there and then not, or be there late, or, yeah. And so it kind of, it's all similar, where it's like, don't do a lot of things mediocrely, but do a few things well, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
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 Have you, how many of you have heard of the Lean Startup Movement? Couple people, the lean startup movement, Eric Ries. Okay, well, it's very big in business right now. I love learning all kinds of business stuff. But a big movement right now is what they're calling the lean startup. And basically, it's evolving from this new way of thinking of how to build a business, startups specifically. And so you have the tech revolution, right? That has become incredibly, there's just so much money in it now. All these startups where it became incredibly successful. And then here comes all these people out of the woodworks wanting to do that same thing, but there's 10 times the amount of people. And what they're trying to do is they get these huge investments from the entrepreneurs of yesteryear that made all the money, and they give them $6, $7, $8, $10 million cash to start your business and all this. And Eric Ries started studying all these kind of new startups that are getting so much money from all these other entrepreneurs that were successful, and he's watching all these startups go down in flames. I mean, millions upon millions of dollars are just burning in the in startups of our generation and a little bit older. And he's wondering why. So he goes to these places and he starts working for them and studying them, asking them questions. And what he starts finding out is that these startups are consumed in fake statistics and fake productivity. And so what they do is they spend all of their resources in getting the coolest employee perks, right? Really fancy looking chairs. You know, you can bring your dogs into work and there's a massage, you know, daily free massage if you want it. They start going all over the place with all these different things. They pour tons of money into their website, into graphics, and all of these different things. But they aren't building their product well. And so he starts asking them why. And he's like, well, once if we build it, they will come. So we're trying to get our brand up, right? And all these places start crashing and burning. And what he's seeing is that these companies are completely consumed in fake productivity. And they're building entire businesses before they even know if they have a product that people want or not. And so he wrote an entire book on the opposite. He's like, don't even spend a cent on your company. Build your product first. See if people want it. And then you'll be incredibly successful. But he talks about all this being waste. And what seems like really good ideas to these entrepreneurs, right? All these employee perks to attract the right people in, right? The cool buildings, all this different stuff. And their minds, this is like, yeah, man, I'm working all day. This is crazy productive. And he's like, you haven't done a lick of work. Your product is still just as bad today as it was yesterday. And he watches them burn. And I thought that was so interesting because that's like us in our personalized lives half the time, right? We're getting all these different things done, but the core things that we need to be doing well in, right, are schooling. If we are in college, we have one major focus, school. There is no reason for you to not be making great grades. If you're making C's and D's, that is absurd. I was in special education in high school. They had to put me in a special program because I spent a chunk of high school in mental institutions. I came out, and I made straight A's all through college. I'm not a smart guy, but I realized if you just do the work, you get straight A's. And I'm telling you, and that's what happened. And I ended up with like a 3.8 GPA. A person who wasn't supposed to go to college, right? But somebody taught me that right off the gates was if you just do the work, you're going to be okay. And it was completely true. If you're in college, right, there's no excuse for that. You need to be making great grades. And if you're not, check your discipline, your self-control, and your intentional lifestyle. But don't be a busy body. Be intentional, focused, Fill your schedule with the worthwhile things and not the waste of these, like these other companies, right? The things that actually need to be getting done. So, what does that look like practically? Well, personally, I think make a list of the priorities in your life, and if those things aren't taken care of or done, don't do anything else.
Come on.
And it's that simple. Make a list. What's first? God. If you are doing poor spiritually, don't do anything else until you get back on track. Get it done. School. If you aren't making great grades, stop, delete every app off your phone and start making good grades. This is what intention looks like. This is what focus looks like. Family, work, whatever it is, write them down on a piece of paper, make a list of priorities. And if every day you check in, am I good, am I good, am I good? I didn't do that yet. I'm putting away whatever I was just about to do, and I'm going to get it done. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's what it looks like to live intentionally. Do you have any practical with that you want to add?
Well, what's funny is I am, like, the opposite. I'm, like, such a go-with-the-flow person. I'm like, oh, cool, yeah, sure, that's good. What? Who cares if I didn't do my homework? I had great conversations. Or, like, I learned so much in class. Who needs to do the homework? Whatever. But it's funny, because then once I met him, I was like, oh, gosh, okay, wow, this is intense. You know, like, and I had to, like, but it was good. Like, you get so much more done. But when I thought intentional, like, I remember hearing intentional for the first time. I was like, huh, what's that? Because for me, I was just so, like, sure, yeah, cool, what's up? Which I think is good. Like, don't be so, like, no, sorry, don't have time for you, you know. But,
fun.
Yeah, you can still be fun and intentional. But a similar thing for me was I was just with the ministry the whole time. I was like, oh, cool, yeah, what's the next hangout? Yeah, sweet, I'll be there. But then at my school, I was getting, like, C's, D's. I was like, oh, gosh. And so that's totally true, that point about, like, you're in college, you should do excellent in school. Like, we are called to glorify God with our grades.
Yep.
But yeah, so it's just funny thinking of how when I first heard intention, I was like, what? I don't know what that is. But it's such a better life to live because you can look and be like, oh, I did this. And, you know, like you can know with confidence I was successful. It was, you know, it was worth it, that type of thing. But, yeah,
absolutely. So, campus, let's commit to being harder workers here. Let's work on our discipline, our self-control, and being intentional in the things we do. And watch. It will get better, and you will become increasingly more productive, and you're going to love yourself.
Yeah.
It's going to be fantastic.
And people will come to you for advice on how to be hardworking.
Imagine that.
There it is.
That'd be cool. But that was it for our class today. Thank you so much for coming. We have a couple minutes here if you want to.